It's a very detailed, it's a deep subject, and a lot of information. I can't tell you every single factor, or you'd be here for days and days, but we're going to discuss the important points. So a timeline of biblical events begins with creation and ends with a new heaven and a new earth. When Jesus ascended to heaven, the period of time known as the church age began. When Jesus ascended to heaven, the period known as the church age began, and we are still in that time period, and at the end of it, I might say. The church age will end with an event known as the rapture. The rapture of the church. The rapture will be followed by the period of time known as the tribulation period that will last for 7 years. Jesus will end this tribulation period with his second coming. Shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus discussed signs of his second coming. We'll read them in Matthew 24. Currently, we are seeing those signs, indicating that his second coming is not far away at all. Might sound cliche, it's not far away at all. It may be sooner than what you think. And the title of this message is, You Must Be Ready. If the second coming is not far away, how close is the rapture that will occur 7 years prior to the second coming of the Lord? In other words, when the Lord gave the signs of his second coming, that was the signs of his second coming after the tribulation period, which will last 7 years. Well, the rapture occurs before the seven-year tribulation period. So it means that we are 7 years closer to his coming. It's close. Jesus said no one knows the time of his coming, but he told us to watch for signs that are evident. Now, some people have tried to pinpoint his coming, say it will be on this day in that year. Don't believe it. Jesus said no one knows but the Lord himself. Not even the angels know. So how is a man going to know? He said that no one knows the time of his coming, but he told us to watch for the signs, and they're out there. We just had a major sign late February. It would be good to review some of the end time signs. Will we be ready for his return? If you could turn with me to Matthew 24, we're going to read verses 1 to 14 and then jump to 32 and 33. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Now I'm going to read in the King James Version, for it's brought out very well. I just like a little bit better in the King James Version, so just follow along with me. And Jesus went out. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, See not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. Now I was on the Temple Mount. There isn't one stone left upon another of the temple. It's a heap of stones. In fact, I even took a picture of it when I was in Israel. This is so true. Not one stone upon another. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Now we could jump to verse 32, verses 32 and 33. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. We're seeing these things. A couple of people have had words of knowledge where Jesus said, My hand is on the doorknob. This isn't a scare tactic, it's an aware tactic. Get ready, be prepared. Verses 4 and 5 says, Many shall come in my name. Now, we've mentioned this before, but a quick review. In the 1990s, we had David Koresh, who said that he was Jesus, led a group called the Branch Davidians in the compound in the area of Waco, Texas. People were deceived to believe him. They didn't read this, that Jesus said, Nobody knows. And many shall come in my name. People were deceived and followed him to the point of death. The building, the compound, was destroyed with David Koresh and his followers in it. Now here's some updated information. In September of the year 2020, Sergei Torop, also known as Vissarion, was arrested in Russia. You may have heard about this. He claimed to be Jesus and had a following of several thousand people. See how people could be deceived? Now, this is what he told the people. I am not God, and it is a mistake to see Jesus as God. Imagine this. He said, it's a mistake to see Jesus as God. Then he said, but I am the living word of God the Father. What nerve. Everything that God wants to say, he says through me. See how people could be deceived? He's got thousands of people following him. His cult followers count the years beginning at 1961, that is the year of his birth. In his cult, Christmas is not celebrated, but has been replaced by a feast day on January 14th, which is his birthday. Imagine. If these cult followers had only read the Bible, they would not have been deceived. Verse 6, wars and rumors of wars. Think of the wars during our lifetime. Syria, Afghanistan, Gulf War of 2003, Gulf War 1990 to 1991, Vietnam, Korean War. There have been skirmishes in Africa. Most recently, we have the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We have continuing trouble in the Middle East, which will not have peace until Jesus comes back to earth, which we will discuss. The second coming of Christ will bring peace to the Middle East. Until then, there will not be peace in the Middle East. You have nations coming against Israel. Iran is a big threat to Israel. We'll have more to say about that. Nations threatening each other through a show of force, using their military capabilities, those rumors of war. We have communist China lately threatening Taiwan. Now, the leader of China, Xi Jinping, he's just licking his chops for Taiwan right now. He just can't wait to invade. It may happen this year. These are the wars and rumors of wars. There are fears of nuclear war. There's people talking about World War III now. But Jesus did say, "See that you be not troubled." Like I said, this isn't a scare tactic. This is an aware message I'm giving. Jesus said, "You be not troubled," because God will rapture us out of the mess before it gets really bad. We'll discuss more about that later on. Like I said, this will be a couple of weeks. Verse 7, where it mentions the famines. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes." Recent famines, unfortunately, in Africa. We think things are bad because the price like of eggs are high and there's rapid inflation going on. It's really bad in other parts of the world with famine. Pestilence. What's the definition of pestilence? Now, the Cambridge Dictionary defines pestilence as a very serious infectious disease that spreads quickly and kills large numbers of people. Wow, doesn't it sound like the coronavirus? Merriam-Webster definition of pestilence: contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating. Like I said, we mentioned coronavirus. We had recent Ebola virus outbreak, which is deadly. I think it's a class 4 virus. Like, you classify viruses 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 is very severe. We had the H1N1 virus outbreak that causes swine flu. You might remember that. The HIV outbreak. Earthquakes are always occurring. We remember in 2004, December 26, 2004, an earthquake in the area of the Indian Ocean measured 9.1 to 9.3 on the Richter scale. Now, you can be sure, when you register on the Richter scale of, say, 6.0, it's already devastating, taking down buildings. This was 9.1 to 9.3. The earthquake was termed violent. It was so powerful that it affected the Earth's axis. Now, you know that the Earth, remember from school, the Earth is on the axis, 23.5 degree axis. That's how we have our seasons. So it's not like up and down. We're on an axis. That earthquake in the Indian Ocean that measured 9.3 on the Richter scale, actually it was so strong it affected the axis of the Earth. Imagine that. It caused the entire planet to vibrate. The entire planet. The resulting tsunami had waves up to 100 feet high. It killed about 250,000 people in 14 countries. It was termed one of the deadliest natural disasters in recorded history. Update. The recent earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, February 6th of this year, it registered 7.8 on the Richter scale with an aftershock of 7.5. As if the 7.8 wasn't bad enough, the aftershock of 7.5. Then there was another one. February 20th in Turkey, it registered 6.3 on the Richter scale with an aftershock of 5.8. Total people killed in Turkey and Syria is over 51,800 people. Over 108,000 injuries in Turkey. More than 160,000 buildings collapsed in Turkey. I saw a video, I was watching a video of the earthquake as it was occurring, and it shows the buildings just shaking and crumbling like nothing. They just fell apart like nothing. Unfortunately, about 1,500,000 people are left homeless. We did send money, by the way, through Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham's group, which we can trust. I don't send money to anybody. I want to know who's trustworthy. We did send money to Franklin Graham, who was helping out this area, Samaritan's Purse. Verses 9 to 11. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. This treatment of Jesus' followers occurred in the book of Acts. It is occurring today and will continue and get much more severe in the tribulation period. Consider how ISIS has treated Christians. The persecution of Christians is occurring in the Middle East, Africa, Asia, communist countries such as China and North Korea, and it's starting in the United States. And I guess you could see that when you watch it. You never thought, you know, in our Bill of Rights, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, and persecution is starting here. Freedom of religion is being suppressed in our nation. Keep up with the news, you'll hear it. Now here's an example of how freedom of religion is being suppressed. Do you remember the actor Kirk Cameron, who is now a born-again Christian working hard for the Lord? I believe he starred in the movie Left Behind, which is about the beginning of the tribulation period and the rapture. Actor Kirk Cameron reached out to more than 50 public U.S. libraries to hold story hour promoting his new biblically-based children's book, As You Grow. The name of the book was As You Grow. The libraries have ignored and rejected the proposal of a story hour for his book discussing family, faith, and Bible-based wisdom. The libraries didn't want this. They didn't want the story hour. The story hour has been widely replaced nationwide by drag queen and pride events. Are we in the last days? This is in the United States. Replaced by drag queen and pride events. Many libraries that have rejected Cameron's request actively offer drag queen story hours for children. See how Satan's trying to influence the children? Here's another one. In this country, a football coach was accused and brought up on charges of praying after the game. I thought there was freedom of religion in this country, freedom of expression. And atheist groups were complaining. He took a knee. He prayed after the football game to thank the Lord. The complaint about prayer was offered. The prayer offered came before a congressional session. Well, let me clarify that. They pray before congressional sessions. There was a complaint about that. I believe it was by some of the Congress personnel themselves. They complain about the prayer before the congressional session. Persecution beginning in this country. Now verse 10 over here mentioned, they shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. This refers to apostasy. What is apostasy? The falling away from the Lord and abandonment of the faith. It's going on right in this country. It's bad in this country. Some so-called Christians don't take the doctrine of Jesus seriously and have even left him. So-called Christian. That's why I say what's important is how much of Christ you have in your life. It's not that you are called a Christian. Many people call themselves Christians and they walk away from the Lord. They weren't really following him to begin with. As we always say here, we need to possess and confess to live and breathe the reality of Jesus Christ, to be filled with him. If you really know the Lord, you can't walk away from him. Because you know it's the best thing that ever happened to you. But unfortunately, people don't really get to know the Lord in depth, to really dig into and study, and to genuinely receive him. Like I said, to possess and confess the reality of Jesus Christ, to live and breathe Jesus in your life every day, to be in constant communion with him. According to George Barnum, a Christian pollster, only 6% of Americans adhere to a biblical worldview. 6% of Americans, only 6% adhere to a biblical worldview. This gets better. I'm saying that in a negative sense. Only 37% of Christian pastors have a Christian worldview. Those are Christian pastors. In the United States, many youth between the ages of 18 and 24 refuse to attend church. And I'm going to say something now. I want to thank Joey, there's Matt, Sasha, Katie, and I think there's Eric's son Matthew in the office over there. I want to thank you for coming, because you're part of the youth that does come to church. And please keep doing it. Don't let anything dissuade you, because we need our youth group to grow. Invite friends. You never know who would want, you say, well, they want to come to church. Well, they may not want to come to church, but when they hear about Jesus, they may get hooked on Jesus. They may get addicted to Jesus. It's the best thing that can happen to them. So you youth, keep doing your job. Invite your friends. We want more youth here. This church to flourish, but it's really up to the youth. So I thank you for coming and keep up the good work. Because, as I said, in the United States, many youth between the ages of 18 and 24 refuse to attend church. Some churches are experiencing record low attendance and have had to even close, and I hope that never happens to this church. Keep coming, because I hope that never happens to this church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord's coming. We can see the day of the Lord's coming approaching. Our Zoom application exists for persons with physical disabilities or for someone on vacation. It is not, some people may not like that I'm saying this, but I have to say it. It is not meant to be a substitute for coming to church when the person is able to come to church. Verse 11 speaks about false prophets. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You know how you get deceived? Because you don't pay attention to this book. If you pay attention to this book and keep your nose in it, you'll never get deceived. This is a living document. It's God's word. It is believed that there will be false prophets during the tribulation period, and there are already false teachings and preachings. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just giving you examples. There's the teaching of Chrislam. which is the integration of Islam with Christianity in this country. People are attending Chrislam services. I'm sorry to say, Pastor Rick Warren is one of them who teaches Chrislam. How could you have Christianity and Islam together? There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ, not Muhammad. How could you have Chrislam? But you see the way people are getting deceived? Here's another thing that another thing going on, that there will be false prophets and false teachings, and especially during the tribulation period, and it's starting now. The Chinese government is attempting to rewrite the Bible with communist principles. This is Red China. To rewrite the Bible with communist principles. You think we're close to the end? Verse 12, lawlessness is increased. Amplified version of that verse says, multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. Verse 12 in the NIV, increase of wickedness. King James, as we read, iniquity shall abound. This prophecy is evident. Just watch the news. Consider the violent riots in major cities across the nation during the past few years. Stabbings, vehicular manslaughter, multiple businesses and vehicles set on fire. That's in this nation. I'm not talking about foreign country. That's in America. Then you do have the atrocities of ISIS, the Al-Qaeda group, murders, stabbings, killing of family members. How about our fentanyl crisis at the southern border? The border agents cannot control, I read this yesterday, the border agents cannot control the amount of fentanyl crossing our border. It's killing people by the thousands. Border agents can't control. These cartels are actually controlling parts of the border with drugs and fentanyl coming in. Fentanyl, by the way, is stronger than heroin. Many politicians and governments are corrupt. No, I'm not being political, I'm not mentioning political party, because it's on both sides. Many politicians and governments in our country, America, are corrupt. They're trying to pass ungodly laws. I'm reading the book of Jeremiah right now for about the third time. You read how God was upset with the southern kingdom of Judah. Things that were going on. Idolatry. The killing of babies. Mistreatment of widows and orphans. God said, I never commanded you to kill the babies and to offer your babies to Moloch and to Baal. There's no children around here, so I could say it. You used to have a statue of Moloch. The arms were out like this with the hands, burning hot. They put the babies on it, offered their babies to Moloch. Look what's going on in this country. Hate to say it, rampant abortion. And now that Roe v. Wade was overturned, there are some states that are trying very hard to get abortion legal in their states. Because when Roe v. Wade was overturned, it was up to the states to decide on whether or not abortion will be legal. And some states are trying very hard to get it legal, up till the time of birth. And New Jersey is one of those states, abortion up till the time of birth. King James Version of verse 12, the love of many will wax cold. A disregard for human life in countries around the world. In some cities in the United States, murder is commonplace and out of control. Today in some states, like I said, including New Jersey, abortion is legal until the time of birth. Is that the love of many waxing cold? I'm going to read, if you could turn with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4. Second Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, we're seeing that today, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control. You're seeing that today. Brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now in verse 1, where it says terrible, difficult times will come, some versions say terrible times, and King James says perilous times. We are currently seeing some of these descriptions in the news when you talk about perilous times. Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, appears to have nuclear options in his war threats. Rogue nations are developing nuclear capability. Some experts believe that Iran is only weeks away from having nuclear weapons capability. Now, I'm not talking them down. It's up to God to judge. But could you imagine a country like Iran with nuclear capability? And you know they're going to target Israel. And then God will get involved. Without self-control, verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, without self-control. How many people in these last days are controlled by their own lusts rather than exhibiting self-control? Gender dysphoria, here's another update. Gender dysphoria is becoming more common even among children. As if God made a mistake when he created one person male and another one female. A Canadian father was sentenced to jail for trying to protect his daughter from a transgender procedure. Imagine, he was arrested for trying to protect his daughter from a transgender procedure. Are we in the last days or what? We're close. Verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, without natural affection. Consider the different forms of accepted sexuality in today's society. And then there's, getting back to Matthew 24, verse 13, the one who was faithful to the Lord until death will be saved. We need to stay very close to the Lord in these last days. And as I always say, pray for the unsaved and the backslidden. That's why I'm always mentioning it. We are close. And again, I'll say, this is not a scare tactic, it's an aware tactic. Pray for the unsaved and backslidden. Pray with all your heart, because we are very close to the end. Time is short. Pray, pray, and pray. Now we have shadows of the tribulation period already